Did you know that the story of Christmas is really about two babies, not one? Are you aware that the Christmas story is about two mothers? One mother too old to be a mom. One mother too young to be a mom. Those two women come together in the same house for 3 months, where they are allowed to process some deep things. Strange, secretive, risky, embarrassing, delightful, shocking, blessed, no doubt humorous, but most importantly, holy things. The two women, one too old, one too young, they share the experience of pregnancy. The older mom is 6 months ahead of the younger mom. 6 months is enough to touch and caress the lump of a round tummy. The mom too old has a lump. The mom too young knows that she is, and yet much of what she feels so far is nothing more than imagination and wonder. No lump, but she is certain. The two women, they are together for 3 months. And they're getting ready. I guess that's what you do when you are in these not yet seasons of life. You do your best to get ready. You steady yourself. You try to be a good waiter. Human beings are not very good in that department. And waiting, if you have a partner, it helps. They did. A mother too old to be a mom, a mother too young to be a mom, they had 3 months to wait together. Now, I have been thinking about their stories, and at the outset, I would need to concede that I'm really not qualified to tell you the story I'm about to tell. In order to fully absorb these events, one would need to know what it is, that one day, that 2 days, when you, as a woman, we're beginning to feel in your body that you are with child. I hear that most of you, some of you, many, you know before the line and the home test, you know your own bodies, you have good senses regarding such things. I don't have much of a concept here. Now, I have encountered some indigestion about here sometimes, and on occasion it will even move a little bit. Is there any comparison? Hardly the same. I told you, I have no proficiency here, and with all of that said, it's clear that I am looking on this story from afar, attempting to get as close as I possibly can, yet fully knowing that only half of the people in this room will get it. And I will be among those who don't. A mother too old to be a mom, a mother too young to be a mom. Luke's gospel record regarding Christmas begins with a couple, an old couple, must be in their 70s, maybe even 80s, not completely sure where they fit in the category of old. When people look at them, they say they're old. I get that sometimes. Dave, he's old. The couple is also barren. They have no children. And so when we first meet them, we pity them a little. We're sad for them. Their names? Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah happened to be a priest. He lived out in the hill country of Judea, not sure about the specific address, in the vicinity of Jerusalem, the southern part of the nation of Israel. You're familiar by contemporary events of Gaza? Well, not far from there. Several weeks of the year, it was his responsibility to leave his local ministry as a priest, go to the temple in Jerusalem and serve his scheduled rotation. But on this occasion, while he was there, the angel Gabriel appeared to him. The angel Gabriel, coming out of the presence of God, he announces to Zechariah that he and his wife are going to have a child. And that child is to be the forerunner of the Messiah, the greatest prophet up to that time that the world had ever known. His name, you shall call him John. History will know him as John the Baptizer. That was the message from Gabriel. Zechariah was a little bit uncertain. Chapter 1, verse 18 of Luke, Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man. My wife is well along in years." I like his phrasing there. He's being very careful with his wife's age. The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. Now you will be silent, not able to speak until the day this all happens, because you did not believe my words." And that's just exactly what took place. Zechariah's tongue went silent for a period of 9 months. It's a rather dramatic story, a good story to tell on another day. But you see, we're not talking about the dads today. We're watching the moms. A mother too old to be a mama. A mother too young to be a mom. Verse 23 said, "When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant. For 5 months, she remained in seclusion. 'The Lord has done this for me,' she said. 'In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people.'" Disgrace? That's another thing I don't much understand. My body has no ability to bear a child. I've never expected it, never dreamed about it, not imagined it. Oh, but she felt it. She felt disgrace. Oh, it's not that every woman without a child feels such a thing. She's just telling you what she was going through. But now, no longer in the shadow of family pity. She was a bit embarrassed, a whole lot grateful, and a bunch absorbed in wonder. The social disgrace that she had encountered for decades, it was melting every time she felt another poking experience and a tummy twinge. Pickles and ice cream, anyone? This mother, too old to be a mom? She's hiding. 5 full months in seclusion. Elizabeth has a wonderful secret. An old woman with a withered womb comes to life with a baby. And not just any baby, but the preparer, the forerunner, the announcer will be the outcome. And you know, when the announcer appears, the one to whom he points cannot be far behind. Anticipation. After 5 full months of hiding, there is a knock at the door. A woman's voice calls out. At the hearing of that voice, the most surprising thing happened. Verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, I'm at a bit of a distant place. A baby inside that leaps. Did I mention that I have had some indigestion every now and then? And on occasion, it does move. But some of you will understand. I've heard you describe it. I heard one mother tell, "Wow, the little one is turning cartwheels today." Elizabeth heads to the entrance of her house, baby doing somersaults. She sees Mary at the doorway. And the mother too old to be a mom who has been living in secret, why now she shouts out what should be heard. In the loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Wait, Mary hasn't even told her the secret yet. She knows. She knows. How do women do that with one another? Sometimes they just know. "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." It was the first prophetic action of the forerunner The prophet's assignment did not begin with a well-prepared, well-manicured sermon. It began with a cartwheel in the womb. Now, so many things going on in that moment. A mother too old to be a mom, ready to explode with her secret. A mother too young to be a mom, anxious to tell her secret. Oh, I wish I could have been there to see the doorway encounter. You know, I've noticed that women have curious patterns of communication. Careful now. They commune differently than us men. My wife Paula is one of three daughters. And when Mom and the three girls had been together, I often observed a bewildering sight. I mean, around the table they could be, and they're all actually talking at the very same time. It looks to me like no one is listening. They all just talk. Oh, I've experienced extreme expressions of this at family reunions. Everybody at the farmhouse in Minnesota. Men are in the other room in front of the TV. Their conversations have very little depth. About all they're talking about is how bad the Vikings are in need of another quarterback. And I'll get up from a second quarter commercial heading for something to eat. And when I approach the threshold of the kitchen, I notice the crowd roar in front of me is nearly a match to the stadium noise behind me. I peek around the door frame and I observe something quite stunning. You see, Paula's mom had four sisters, five of them in all. They all have daughters, and the whole bunch fills the kitchen, every corner of the room, and they're all talking. I look very carefully to see if anyone I might find listening. I can't find one. Oh, I have learned that there is much listening going on, for when the event is over and we are in the car on the way home, my wife will share an appropriate summary with everyone's update. So I know that there's listening going on. I just don't know how they do that. But women know. I would love to have seen that front door encounter between a 70-year-old woman, Elizabeth, and 13-year-old Mary. I'm not totally sure of the ages. That's somewhere close. So much to say. Women leaping, babies leaping, shouting, heard, secrets coming out in full expression. What a scene! I mean, I don't really get it, but some of you do. For the next 3 months, a mother too old to be a mom, and a mother too young to be a mom will revel in their story. Oh, Mary is dying to tell hers. Hers is a new secret, a fresh secret. Here's the secret of a mother too young. Back to the Gospel of Luke in the 6th month. Luke is helping us organize the chronology. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. Well, Gabriel has been busy. Now he's up north in the northern portion of Israel in a town of Galilee to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High. Don't miss that. Most High. He is the one who is the creative origin of all of life. He is the one who spoke into existence. Let there be light. The Most High. He will create in you. He will overshadow you. And so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Gabriel offers some personal guidance. Even Elizabeth, your relative, this is confirmation that God is working. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And he and she, who is said to be unable to conceive, is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail. At that time, Mary got ready. She hurried to the town of the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When I stop and think about it, I wonder to whom Mary would be able to tell her secret. Not a soul. Nobody's going to buy a 13-year-old story like that. Who would understand? Only an old woman past her prime with an infant punching her tummy. God chooses them both, and they meet in a doorway where they launch a three-month adventure of waiting. An old mom with a lump, a young mom with a twinge and a feeling. They live together for 3 months, wrapped in the embrace of confidence and surprise and wonder and suspicion and raw, gutsy faith. That's what waiting is, you know, in the elements of waiting where life spans too far beyond your imagination. The only thing you've got is raw, gutsy faith. For those living in the not yet moments of life, that's all you got. A mother too old, a mother too young, they were getting ready. Ready for physical birth? I wonder what that will be like. Do you know, good midwife? Imagine having to nurse a child. How does that work? What's the timing? Creating expectations that only women, as they are able, to do. I got nothing here. I'm so far out of my realm of comprehension. I'm trying to tell the story, attempting to put feelings into words, but I don't know what the feeling is. Oh, but some of you do. The mother, too young to be a mom, leaves Elizabeth's home when she is about 3 months along, having formed good expectations with a dear lady who loved her. But that naive mother too young leaves Elizabeth's house to learn that the Emperor of Rome has ordered a census of the entire Roman citizenry. Soldiers posting announcements, families aligning and realigning their schedules, required to prove their heritage in the right place at the right time. Mary had no concept that her birth pangs or her contractions would actually start while on the road. In a desert road, having marched miles while riding some bony-backed beast, she had no idea that traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem through Jerusalem, as the Roman schedule demanded. Oh, not to mention, it's not a straight shot. Uh-uh. You must avoid the Samaritan corridor because there's conflict in Israel. Imagine that. The imagination she created when Elizabeth was playing were playing out so differently. No place to stay, crowded conditions, panic at the next contraction. Oh, where is it? Where is Elizabeth? Who knows a midwife in Bethlehem? Joseph, you got to help me. You got to help me. Oh, okay, I'll try. What do you want? What do you want me to do? Every one of your nativities are so serenely and peacefully set. It was not so. The mother too young, so naive to the appropriate protocol, she has her baby in a place where she must steal bedding from cattle and borrow feed manger as an infant crib. Elizabeth, did you warn her about that? A mother too young to be a mom. She didn't know. Her only option is to trust that God is real, that his promises are in place, even during the most fragile, fearful moments. His plan is real still on a day when I am in shock and surprise and uncertain and afraid. A mother too young to be a mom. Oh my, she is an amazing girl. You make sure that you do not allow these women to disappear when you put your nativity back in the box. For there is much more mom story to tell. And it too is territory beyond my understanding, but I think some of you will get it. See, for Elizabeth and Mary, there is this distance of 30 years before the puzzle pieces begin to truly collect. It's 30 years until those babies will launch on their divine mission. their duties in front of them. 30 years for mothers to wonder about the meaning of divine origin, where it appears they have been blessed to be used by God Almighty. But to what end? 30 years to wonder. It's decades before they arrive at any point where they actually get a chance to say in their own mind, oh, that's what that means. 30 years. I wonder if Elizabeth was able to hear the prophetic preaching of her son, John. And did she listen as he pressed people toward repentance? Or did she approve of his authoritative tone and his disheveled appearance? And mothers have opinions about such things. He kept telling people they needed to repent so that they would be able and ready to meet the one who is coming. Did she hear him preach? I wonder if Elizabeth was ever able to see him when he was in prison, incarcerated, put there because he challenged a king about his lack of moral character, his hypocrisy, his sleeping with his sister-in-law. Oh, King Herod, he had enough power to think himself exempt from scrutiny, but if you are the leader of the people whom God has chosen, you need to be called out. John did. He called out all people. Kings and peasants called them all to repentance so they would be prepared to meet Jesus. He's coming. He's coming. I wonder where Elizabeth was when the news came that her son John had been executed, beheaded, because of a cheap, drunken party bet of a king. I hope she was gone. Oh, likely so. She was well along in years when all of this began. I hope she was gone and did not have to face a mother's suffering, which is formed from a son's suffering. Some of you know. Not so with Mary, the mother too young to be a mom. The gospel record follows her at least a few points, several actually. Like the time after baby Jesus was born, she and Joseph make their way to the temple in Jerusalem for blessing and dedication of the child and herself. A brief service is interrupted by an old man who wants to see the baby, and he's quite insistent. He marvels at the child as though some life dream of his has been fulfilled. And then the old man says to Mary, "Because of this child, a sword shall pierce your heart." What a message for a new mom to hear. But I wonder if those were the very words that played in her mind when she stood at the foot of the cross as a Roman spear was thrust into the chest of her 33-year-old son. "A sword shall pierce your heart too." I think she felt it. I think she felt it. And so many of you would know better than me the pain of a son imposed upon a mother. You know. We have had some sorrow in our home. Children encountering disease, lives at risk, we do know loss. My wife engages things differently. In a long process and waves of disturbance, she approaches things differently than I do. I seem to be geared toward the toughen up syndrome. Rub a little dirt on it, quit complaining, get back in the game, boy. Her approach is different. A grief that seems deeper than mine. She thinks about it. She feels it, processes it. A trail of her own. Every wound is real. Every injury, personal. Every sorrow of every child, whether they are 3 or 33, she feels it as her own. A mother too young to be a mom. "A sword shall pierce your heart too." She knows. Maybe. Some of you do too. Oh, but do not miss her most stunning encounter in the garden where there is a tomb. we see her twice. Now, there is some debate and some uncertainty about identities here, but it looks to me like this is her. I believe it. First, Matthew 27, verse 61. Mary Magdalene, that's not a lady with a last name. That just tells where this gal is from. Mary from Magdala. And the other Mary, that's the one we've been talking about. They're sitting opposite of the tomb. The reason they're sitting opposite of the tomb is because Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus are quietly and hastily preparing the body of Jesus so that it might go into the tomb before the Sabbath begins. Mary has been following consequentially all the way through these events. You'd expect very much for her to be right there. The last moment, she watches him wrapped. Chapter 28. A second event. These same pair. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala and the other Mary went to the tomb. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said." And suddenly, Jesus met them. They came to him, not in a full embrace, but no, quite different. They clasp his feet to worship him. A mother too young to be a mom, she understands that this is no longer about a son. This is about a Savior. She worships him. Her pierced heart beating again because of resurrection. The wounded son, now victorious, the divine boy who put on flesh, completed his assignment. So many things now become clear. He's not just boy baby. He's Savior. He is her Savior. He's our Savior. God the Father, who provided his innocent son to a dark world to display what true love looks like. He was the only light coming into a dark space. He was God who put his own flesh in the presence of brokenness so we could see, we could feel it, we could live there. He was the only light coming into a dark place, and suddenly a mother too young is awakened to a much bigger story. All from the beginning, she seemed to know it was not about her. It was about him. Take your cue from her, because it's not about you either. It's about him. Her life was to honor him. It did. Does yours? Oh, there are parts of this story that I don't have the capacity to understand. I have anemic genes and chromosomes. I have spaces and gaps in my intellect and experience. But this part, I get completely. I, too, am in need of a Savior. Lord God, we live in the presence and the testimony of your word, revealing your presence, coming to us to save. I ask that we would absorb, understand, and worship, for it is all and only about you. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.